are listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio, focusing on solutions and thinking different.
Good evening, folks. Welcome to Circle of White Light Radio with myself, Alan James. It's the 12th of June, 2022, and not too far away from the summer solstice, which is just around the corner on the 21st of June. So that's going to be interesting to see develops and what happens with all the energies hitting the planet at the moment and how everybody's feeling up and down. You pull left, right, sideways and God knows what way, all over the place with the energies at the moment. So one day you're feeling up, next day you're feeling down, aches and pains, tinnitus, headaches, sleeping issues, eating issues, stomach issues, you name it, it's all happening. We're all feeling it. And let's just hope there's light at the end of the tunnel after this. Right, folks, my guest on the show tonight is a lovely lady called Ursula Slur. And Ursula is 80 years young and she is a food forager, but she does so much more and has done so much more in her life. But the food foraging was the part that I was very interested in. And Ursula has been on our Zoom calls during the week, and I met up with Ursula when I went down to the Hill of Tara there a few weeks ago. And I said, I think you should come on the show, Ursula, and we'll have a talk about food foraging, because with everything that's going on with the system and food shortages, food prices going up and everything else, you know, there's no harm actually looking at the possibility of the benefits of food foraging for a lot of reasons, not just for food, but for health as well, and the benefits of it, you know. So anyway, we'll be bringing Ursula in a few minutes after we go through the communication channels, and we have a few things to talk about as well.
The communication channels are email, contact us at circleofwhitelight.com, by phone 046-927-1212, or sign up to our newsletter via our website at circleofwhitelight.com.
Okay, I won't do the long version of the communications, but you know where we are. The website, circleofwhitelight.com, patreon.com/COWLR, and obviously PayPal on the website, and obviously we try and donate as much as we can every month. Check out the paid forward on the website, and you'll see all the people that we've donated to since December 2019. And T-shirts available as well, and subscribe on the website if you want to be kept up to date on the things that are going on at Circle of White Light. Okay, right, so loads to talk about. I've a four-page kind of unscripted script with me because there's a few things to mention and talk about, and things just to keep people updated on things that have been happening during the week. So the independent.ie had a post up there and it said, return of work from home plan to save fuel in event of crisis caused by Ukraine war. People will be ordered to work from home in the event of a major fuel crisis sparked by the war in Ukraine under secret government emergency plans. The Irish Independent has learned confidential details of an emergency planning exercise held 10 days ago between all the major state agencies and the government. The Irish Independent can reveal that in the event of a national fuel crisis, emergency contingency measures discussed at the high-level meeting include all non-essential workers will be ordered to work from home, a limit will be placed on all non-essential car travel, a strict limit on the amount of fuel motorists can buy at any one time, the implementation of an immediate and strict reduction in the speed limit on motorways. The plan also includes the introduction of an emergency scheme whereby motorists with an odd number at the end of their car registration will only be allowed to drive or refuel all alternative days. God, it's getting worse. It really is getting worse. I have been looking at hydrogen, splitting hydrogen from water, and looking at hydrogen generators and people using solutions in their cars and various bits and pieces. So I have a kind of bit of an interest in that, and I might be looking at that further and maybe putting together a basic proof of concept idea just to test it. You know, it seems very simplistic how to make them, put them together. I mean, it's not nuclear science, to be honest with you. So it's going to be interesting, getting stainless steel plates and putting it together. But the practicalities and how to get it working, I've seen a few ideas on the internet about, you know, getting it to work with engines and stuff like that. And I think there's a bit more to it than what they're putting across. But we'll look into it anyway. We'll see. We'll see how we go, and we'll keep you posted. If I do any work, we'll put it on video and we'll put it up on YouTube somewhere. And right, okay. The next thing is Tesco's, Asda, Aldi, Lidl, Sainsbury's and Morrison's shoppers soon won't be able to pay with card or cash. Customers may be asked to use a new high-tech solution instead. So what they're looking to do is they're looking to get your fingerprint or your iris, so cards and cash won't be accepted. This is what they're looking to do and they're talking about and thinking of doing. So we're getting more and more into the Big Brother time and time again, you know. They're pushing us down the road for that. And, you know, an example during the week, again, it's funny, an example during the week. So I went into a shopping centre in Navan, parked the car and did my bit. And then when I came back, there was a big queue on one cash machine and there was nobody on the other cash machine. And I'm going, how come nobody's using the other cash machine? And there was a sign on the other cash machine saying, cash only, will not accept credit cards or will not accept cards. And I said, well, I have cash in my pocket because I always do carry cash. Went over and got my ticket and then walked off while everybody else in the big queue are waiting there to use their card. You know, it's just, it's madness how people don't carry cash around. And that's the second time I've gone into like a shop or a shopping centre and where people are standing around because the credit card machine wasn't working. And I had cash in my pocket and I went straight up, paid for it and left. And they were still walking around or just standing around the shop waiting for the credit card machine to reboot and come back online. So you should always have cash on you, even if it's only a tenner. You know, should always have cash on you. And while we still have it, by the way. Okay, and there was a report there during the week. Neil Oliver reported on GB News that one of the heads of Big Pharma got injected with saline rather than the vaccine. Nothing like believing in your own product, right? Now, we are hearing about SADS, sudden adult death syndrome. Healthy young people dying suddenly and doctors are baffled by it. Seriously? Does anyone want to discuss the elephant in the room? The one that has pushed out, forced, coerced over the last 2 years, vaccines? Maybe that should be considered. And this, as I say, this Big Pharma guy does actually a few of them in Spain. Paid to be put on the register to say that they were vaccinated when they weren't vaccinated. They were using saline. So, and it's on GB News. The evidence is there. It's all come out now. It's all coming out now. So, and of course, unfortunately, there's a big increase in myocarditis with people, young people, maybe obviously related to sudden death syndrome. And it could be that as well. So, I don't know. But just on the note of the sudden death thing as well, by the way, a family member is going to a funeral tomorrow as there's the boss's mother passed away and they're going to go down to show their respect. But the issue was the funeral had to be delayed as they had to carry out an autopsy and the morgues were full. So they had to wait. They had to wait until they could do the autopsy and then obviously, it went from there. Now, why is it the case that it's taken so long for autopsies to take place? Are we getting so many people dying because of it? I know there's a young girl, I think she was over here in, well, I think it was Rathfarnham or Rathmines, and she was in a house with two other girls. And when the two girls got up in the morning, they wondered where the other girl was, went up to check her, and she was dead. A young girl, you know, apparently healthy. So, it's concerning what's going on. And of course, the elephant in the room, we all know, is the jab. But they won't admit it. They're baffled by it, the doctors, apparently. Okay, so just a couple of things on my week. I went for my second Tai Chi lesson last week. And although I'm getting the hang of it, I'm getting what has to be done. It's not easy on the muscles and it'll take time. It's a new kind of skill, and I definitely, after last week, my muscles were hurting me, because if you're standing up, you're using your bones, but if you're kind of bending down, you're using your muscles, and it's very muscle orientated rather than standing up using your bones. So that's it's quite interesting. And to do it right, even to learn to walk, believe it or not, learning to walk, when you break it down, even learning to walk and the way they have you doing it in Tai Chi properly, because a lot of the time people have the wrong posture, or they walk the wrong way, they stand the wrong way. And Tai Chi is all about the flow of energy, of Qi energy. And so you have to get your body in the right position. And if it's in the wrong position, the Qi doesn't flow. And it's very surprising. I was, trying to, focus on how to walk. So let's see what other things. As I say, there's a few things went on this week. It's been quite busy. I received two bits of paperwork from the government this week. One looking for money and the other taking a service away. The Irish government have become a mafia protection racket, in my opinion. But the difference with the mafia, they have codes of conduct and you can negotiate with them. Nice letters just from the government again, intruding into my personal life and demanding certain things. And the other thing, I don't know whether people have seen it. I don't know whether you've seen it, but Stephen Carr, who runs the Irish Inquirer, recorded a video at a community centre meeting in Dublin with TD Ruud Coppinger. It was disgraceful. When people were allowed to speak to challenge the government, she was more interested in sending text messages on her phone with her head down. When people blew smoke up her arse, she was all ears. Then when Stephen asked a question, one of her horror thugs slapped the phone out of his hands to the ground. And when he picked it up, the thug grabbed the phone and then threw it against the wall, smashing it. And then he went and hit Stephen in the stomach, all on camera, in front of everyone. I mean, it just unbelievable, unbelievable. Ruud Coppinger is a left-wing socialist, so I don't need to say any more than that. According to Stephen, they were apparently using the Delphi technique, where they knew the outcome that they wanted in the meeting. So they corralled the people and the questions to get the result they planned. They planned before the meeting had started. They avoided any logical questions about issues with COVID, and one nutcase, as there is always one, started to call anyone who applies critical thinking and asks challenging questions a conspiracy theorist. Surprise, surprise. So if you haven't seen that video, go over to YouTube and type Irish Inquirer. And I sent a private message to Stephen, complimenting on him on the video and exposing these politicians and what goes on. And you wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe that somebody would grab a phone, smash it against the wall, and then hit him in the stomach in front of a room full of people. And this is Ruud Coppinger, TD, a politician. I mean, it goes beyond belief what's going on now. It really does. Unbelievable. These nutcases in government. I mean, how did they get there? I really don't understand how people vote for these people. As most of you know, if you don't, I'm sure all you know probably by now, I've said it before, I'm deregistered. And people say to me, oh, but if you don't vote, nothing will change. And I said, but nothing changes anyway. Nothing's been changing since 1922. And how do you know the voting system is actually legit? I personally, in my opinion, feel that it's not genuine. I feel there's some, dodgy dealings going on, in my opinion, based on information and video footage I've seen in the past. So there you go. That's how I feel about that anyway. Right. Okay. Let me see. As I say, big script tonight. Few things going on. Right, I'm going to bring in my guest now. I've had my little soapbox moment giving you an update and everything that's going on. Right, Ursula Slur. Right, food foraging, as I say, very interesting subject. Ursula was born on the 7th of January 1943 in Germany. She is the mother of three grown-up children and she has a background in creative child development, working for 11 years with children. She's also a designer, shamanic practitioner and health consultant. She started the business in Germany in 1971. She has been self-employed, ran a boutique gallery, has produced jewelries and clothing, managed different events and exhibits. In 1981, she moved to the Philippines and created a fashion accessory company with worldwide export and production. She ran a non-profit NGO, Shambhala Center, in the Philippines, working with indigenous people, world peace, alternative health, holistic education, culture and art. She then moved back to Germany in 2009 and then to Ireland in 2012. She gives workshops on foraging natural health, healthy living and inner healing. She currently lives at Loch Melvin in Leitrim after staying for 5 years in Dublin. Good evening, Ursula. How are you doing?
Yes, very well.
Thank you for coming on. As I said, we were talking just beforehand, but I've said it to people that I have met you, obviously we've met up at the Hill of Tara, but you're a regular on the Zoom group as well, so we do have a chat. But the big interest is you've done so much in your life and you've done so much travelling, and even at the young age of 80, you're still up to your eyeballs with people pulling you left, right and centre, wanting your information and your knowledge and your skill and everything else. I don't know where you get the energy from, but I'm sure we'll get into that and find out. But tell me something. I always kind of say to the guests, you know, how did it start off for you? How did you kind of wake up and realize the world wasn't what you were told it was? What was the kind of eureka moment or the light bulb moment?
It came slowly, but it started very early because I was interested in cultures, in indigenous cultures. And my father had very interesting books. So I would read books, sometimes even behind my parents' back. One was very interesting, which was about Lucrezia Borgia, or the Pope Borgia. And I must have been like 12 years old. And we know what started there already. And then I had books on indigenous people as well in my father's library. So, yeah, and I always thought either they are crazy or I am crazy, because I wouldn't think like people thought. And I thought, well, I'm not crazy, I think. You know, it was also about judging people. I didn't like the idea when they judged others, because I was very much for freedom of thought and freedom of how people wanted to live and live their way. And I also wanted to have my way. So freedom was a very big part for me. And yeah, and so it was through reading a lot and having connections with people like Alexander von Bernus, who was the owner of the castle across where we lived. I had very early connection with him. He was a very deep philosopher and mystic, and he was an alchemist. So, you see, So I had very early another way of thinking.
Very good, very good. And you've done so much traveling and you've done so much in your life. But the one thing that we want to get into is the food foraging, because, as I said, even today before I start switching everything on, there was a post up on Facebook by somebody I know, and they put up an article saying that we could be in a winter of discontent because are the government planning again restrictions on food and issues with food and fuel and everything else. I mean, they are trying to bring in their agenda 2030. So the more self-sufficient we are regarding power and food, energy, etc., the better. And food foraging, I think, is very important. I mean, there have been times where in history certain countries where there was actually no food or very little food. And one of them I came across during the week, and I'll just quickly explain it. When Germany invaded the island of Guernsey in 1942, I think, or something, maybe earlier, one of the residents there was being interviewed. He was about 96. And they said that food was getting to be so scarce, anything with four legs was taken and eaten. It got that bad at one stage in Guernsey. Now, I know there's other countries As well, I think Russia was another country that was going through certain issues at certain times where people were getting and licking the salt off the road just to get something. And the fact we have all this greenery in Ireland and we don't use it because we have the convenience of the likes of SuperValu and Tesco's and all that. But the food foraging thing just amazes me. And I mean, for people, if people want to know about this, I'm involved in the local men's shed, and we have asked Ursula to come down to the shed and do a demonstration of the food foraging and bring some samples down, and we're going to bring it around one or two places so she can have a look and show us things and tell us all about them. So it's always handy to know these things just in case. So Ursula, for people who... Now, there's other subjects we're going to be talking about, but the food foraging was the big interest, the one that I wanted to talk about, because I've never, ever had somebody on talking about this on any of my radio shows. So you're the first one, Ursula, and fair play. Thanks for coming on. So how do people find out about this? How do they know what's safe, what's not safe? I mean, if we didn't have you, what do you do? Where do you find out this information? Where did you find it out?
Well, I learned it from childhood. I grew up in nature, and my mother and my grandmother, they also knew the different edible things outside. And but my interest was very early in using those things. I remember when I was 16 years old, I was a year in Sweden, and I used to go around and see what is growing there. And then they made in the house where I lived, it was a German family, they made a spring soup where they also used foraged wild herbs for it. No? And Ireland is very, very lucky because you don't have strong winters. And even in winter, you can forage, whereas a cover of snow is on everything in other countries. Mm. And when you see it's green, but what is green now is mostly the grass without the wild herbs, because they have been putting so much of fertilizers there. But there's a tendency now, I heard from the farmer where I live on his land, and he was saying that recently there was a meeting of farmers with an environmental concerned person who is now going to see that they will have again more of the wild plants because of the lack of bees. That's very vital. And bees need those flowers. I also noticed even in Germany when I went back that they didn't have any more the variety of flowers compared to when I was small, because I would lie down in the grass and observe the smallest flowers and the small insects, etc. I spend a lot of time in nature as a child. So I'm familiar with those things. But you were asking, how will they get it? How will they know? Now, there are people aside of me who have started to do that in Ireland. But also, you can look up everything on YouTube. And you can also have an app which tells you what plant it is when you take a photograph. And you can Google plants. You can look what the benefits are. It's a little wider spread in Germany, I must say. I just came across recently a man with a doctorate degree, I think, in geology. But he has written 15 books on foraging, and he gives a year workshop for people who are interested to become a professional health practitioner focusing on wild plants. And others come up, like in English, you find some Home Where Your Heart is a family. They show a lot. And then there is UK Wild Food Larder on Facebook. It's a fantastic group. I sometimes look it up myself also, sometimes in German as well. But more and more, it's becoming a big thing. And in the past, I mean, imagine all those things we buy as vegetables. Where is the origin of that? They were all once in a time, long ago, wild plants. And then they propagated them slowly into garden plants.
Yeah, well, my fear, and I don't have green fingers. At the moment, I am growing lettuce and broccoli on my windowsill. So I call myself the windowsill gardener. I've got 2 5-litre bottles growing lettuce, and they have to be transplanted now into a bigger container, because I just chucked a load of seeds in. I didn't plant 1 or 2 seeds. I just threw a whole load in. So I need to transplant them. So I don't know an awful lot, but I know that there's certain things, like somebody said to me that you can't eat grass, obviously, but you can juice grass, and there's certain plants that you can juice, but you can't eat them, but you can juice them. And that would be my concern, obviously, making sure that you know which ones that you can eat and the ones you can't eat and the ones that are poisonous. And then obviously we have chemtrails as well, and there's, you know, the pH of the soil and farmers spraying chemicals. So to me, that's all a big concern. So how do you go about sifting through all of that and then working out what's what?
Well, there are certain plants you better don't take, because some who are poisonous look similar. I go for the... In the beginning, when I work with people, I go for the very clear ones. So you cannot find a poisonous plant which looks like a nettle. A nettle is unique. Then you have the dandelion. Dandelion is very clear. You can recognize it. And the power of that plant is incredible. Not only it has so many benefits, but it practically grows through cement or asphalt. And no lettuce does that. You see, you have to very well take care of your garden plants, because they have been weakened with the time. They have been taken out from the wild and made into something else. If I want to tell you something about nettle, I lived in Munich for a while, and when I had already lived very healthy in the Philippines, I'm vegetarian since more than 35 years, and I was doing my green smoothies there and juicing, etc., using plants which were growing around my factory. It wasn't really a factory. It was more an area which became half a jungle with the buildings where my people worked. And I found out that I had around 20 different edible greens. And first I thought it must be wheatgrass. And then I realized wheat doesn't grow there, so why not maybe rice grass? And then I said, how about anything green? Because, you know, it has the chlorophyll we needed. So when I went to Germany, I was in Munich for a while. I was in the city, and the temptation was there. The temptation to have a coffee, to have maybe some cake, etc., etc. And soon enough, I had problems with my knee. I couldn't walk anymore. It was swollen. And it was winter. And then I said, what am I doing? I'm not living healthy. But there was a cover of snow outside. And the thing was that they wanted to operate me. That's how bad it was. So what I was doing, I was digging with my bare hands in the snow to get the nettle, because I knew where they had been growing. And so, but I also bought green vegetables, etc., at the time, because since the snow covered everything, I had to use those you can buy in the shops, and I added fruits to it, and that was my morning drink, and I got well. I didn't have to be operated.
I was going to talk about the health benefits, because you did say to me, now you don't have to go into too much detail, but you did say to me that, you know, there's certain doctors diagnose certain things, and then you said, well, I'm not going to go down that route of, obviously, taking tablets and all that kind of stuff, that you're going to take the alternative route and go food foraging. And then you said your health improved without the need for the tablets. Can you go into detail without going in too personal?
You mean tablets? I hardly took any medicine like that in my life, no? But I had health problems enough. I mean, I was as a child, I was fed right after the war. They thought it's so nice to have white sugar and white flour and so forth, and that wasn't at all good for me. So my family only woke up later when my father got sick and he was doing some research, but damage was already done to me. I wasn't very well, and I had, with 12, my kidneys almost didn't work. With 39, I had a heart attack. I mean, I really had my share. And I had a kind of a fibromyalgia, which people say cannot be cured. But I was cured, so I was really forced to change my lifestyle. And but you asked me another question. Could you repeat that?
Well, that's exactly what I was mentioned was your health, and that's exactly what you what I wanted. That you said that about the issues that you were diagnosed with, and then you went off and you actually went down the road, and you did the alternative route, and then obviously you're feeling much healthier. There's a lot of people out there suffering from a lot of conditions, fibromyalgia yeah. being one of them. And, yeah. you know, it's great that if people obviously put the effort in and, you know, look into it and research it, there is a way that you can actually treat it, if not get rid of it. But the one thing you mentioned there was that you changed your lifestyle. And unfortunately, for the majority of people, or maybe half the people, maybe, that they don't want to change their lifestyle. They want the pill and that's it. They're not prepared to change. Now, I know you mentioned diabetes at one stage. We talked about that as well. Do you want to give that a mention? Because I'm sure there's people that have type 1, type 2 diabetes, and what you mentioned about that.
Well, there are two examples. One is the Butenko family. It's a Russian family who went to America, and I came across them. I was visiting Santa Monica and to learn how to do gourmet raw food. And the two youngsters of the Butenko family had been there the evening before they left their foods. The story was, and some might know that after they had been eating their typical American standard diet, they all got sick. So the parents were both sick. The daughter had asthma. The son had diabetes mellitus. So the mother decided they will go on raw, and they didn't know how to do it. And she just put out everything related to cooking, put a chopping board there. But her son was then eating all boxes of cucumbers, only to find out later that this is really good for diabetes. And the daughter was looking for avocado, because children really still have some kind of an instinct. Now, but if you meddle with them with too much sugar and with other things very, very early, they will lose their instinct. No.
Okay.
And so it was successful in treatment of the son's diabetes. And there was an experiment done by a holistic doctor in America who got volunteers who had diabetes into a 30-day challenge where they would give them green juices, a lot of juicing. They took away most of the other food. And at the end of the experiment, they all had fantastic results. And we know that diabetes is so, it's just destroying the body, one organ after the other. Sometimes they have to cut off a hand, a foot, they cannot see well anymore. And I noticed when I didn't take my green juices or my smoothies, my sight was not good. And so after taking it again for 2 weeks, it absolutely improved.
Isn't it?
So
funny.
I am still reading without glasses. By the way, I'm not yet 80.
Oh, okay.
79.
And you look very well for 79. Isn't it amazing though that when you say to people, well, look, let's just say for legal reasons, we can't say the word cure because you have to be a doctor to do that. But yeah. Let's just say conditions go into remission. But it's amazing that I've said this to one or two people that I know. I won't say where and when, but from a diabetic point of view, type 2, and I've said, there's a way of actually treating that to make you go into remission. And they said, oh, that's great. What's that then? And I said, but you have to change your lifestyle. And they looked at me and smiled, and I said, yeah, you're not prepared to change your lifestyle. You're happy to live with that. Because you're not prepared to change your lifestyle. And, you know, I mean, that's it. People, I suppose, you know, at the end of the day, I know, like, I'm trying to do what I can. As I get older, I understand that muscle loss is very important for all of us. And if we don't use it, we lose it. So for me, the Tai Chi and obviously, you know, diet is interesting, but Tai Chi for me is good for energy flow and muscles and everything else. So, you know, I accept that as you get older, you have to compensate, you know, because when you're younger, we just accept, take it for granted that everything's
good.
Yeah, we
need to start with the children.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is it. We need to educate the children, yeah.
And I was having two classes of children on Friday, this Friday, I mean 2 days ago, and there was a little hesitance in the teachers, and then I had all these things on the table, stuff is growing around us, and suddenly, I mean, having worked with children, and I have like a childlike approach to life. You see, my inner child has never died, I think, or I wasn't covered with all the layers of adulthood. And I'm excited about what I'm doing. And then this kind of jumps over to the people I work with and also to the children. So they were willing later to take and drink this green thing. Now they saw how I was doing it, and I added dates to it, and I added fruits to it, and some said, I'll drink only very little. So it's, I gave very little. They were asking for more later, you see?
Yeah.
And these were children who had, I mean, I haven't seen a place where there are so many candies for sale. Even I visited health shop from time to time in Dublin, and they had a row of candy jars standing there, and some people only came in to buy candies. I mean, sugar is a very big thing. Sugar is very damaging, and it is it's addictive.
Well, you say
people have their habits.
Yeah, they say sugar is heroin to the brain, you know, and we are very addicted to it. And worse, obviously, is aspartame, which is the anything that says sugar free. Always read the ingredients of aspartame.
It can be bad, like aspartame. That's a nerve poison, etc. And that's hidden in many, especially in sugar-free drinks. I mean, aspartame is a nerve poison.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, well, the things that I avoid are basically aspartame, MSG, and obviously fluoridated water. And
now those are three.
Yeah, yeah. And now that we have more and more people are interested in water vortexing for structured water, which is great because for the blood, it goes from anaerobic to aerobic, and it changes the pH and everything else. So, you know, people have got into that, and it's great to see more and more. And people do email me, or they say to me, "Oh, by the way, I listened to the show, and I love the idea of the structured water. I've got that." Again, the food foraging thing is always handy, because they will, Agenda 30 and what the elites want to do, well, it's obviously is population reduction. We know that, and they did that. The part of the vaccine is that as well. We know that. Now, I'm not saying we can't use the word cure, but has anybody approached you, Ursula, to say, I've been vaccinated, and is there anything that they can do to reverse it? Because I know pine needle tea has been mentioned, and I know nettles have a very good healing
And dandelion
process
as well. Yeah.
So what did they say?
Yeah, I mean, there are homeopathic cures. That's another story we can talk another time about, maybe I'll tell you, to remove that. And but if you do a thorough cleanse, and I must say I also follow Anthony William, medical medium. He has written many books. He is into podcasts and I don't know what, and you can find him everywhere. And one of the best things to start cleansing the body or getting into a good pH is out of acidic states, because all the sickness starts when your body is acidic.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And so I drink in the morning, first thing, lemon water, half lemon on water, and I put shungite water. I use the shungite stones coming from the Karelian Mountains in Russia to water my plants, and I drink that in the morning. So I have a warm, I put the shungite water together with the lemon, and then I add warm water. And if a little honey can be, and then I drink two glasses of that. So that's already half liter. And then I take one or two glasses of pure celery juice. And then after that, I have my coconut muesli with fruits, but I also have a wild herb green smoothie. You have to try to create new habits. The habits are ingrained in us.
Yeah.
And food is emotional, food is social. It's attached to so many things, memories. Like I was again tempted this weekend also eating some other food because you don't want to tell everybody your story and you don't want to say, I don't like to eat your food, no?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't touch meat, which is not good for me. It makes I feel heavy and not clean. That's another story. But I was able to do that already in the Philippines, and it was accepted, even if it was very new to them. And so sometimes if somebody offers me a piece of cake, then I eat it. But I can feel it later, and my skin immediately reacts to it. So my body tells me what is not good for me.
Yeah, well, something that you mentioned there, and it was said to me, and I'm sure you know what's happening with it, but you know when you have a greasy pan, so you've cooked something and the grease is in the pan, and what people do is they switch on the hot water, they melt the grease that's in the pan because cold water is no good. So you use, you know, lukewarm water or hot water to melt the grease. Now, I was told, well, actually, what we should be doing, because we get, you know, human beings get fatty livers, and that's very bad for you. So what you do is you get lemon and lukewarm water in the morning, a glass of water with lemon mm-hmm. in it, and you drink it. And if you do that on a regular basis, it actually takes the fat off your liver, which improves your health.
Yeah, that's one of the things one of the effects of the lemon juice, but it's also making your body not takes away the acidity, no? And so, I mean, where to start? It's a long story. We don't have too much time.
Oh, we do. We have a bit of time if you want.
Yeah. I also have a file I can send to people by email. I could send it to you, and if people are interested, you can send it to them, which has a compilation of first the pictures in colored, because black and white often people don't recognize it in nature, and then the main description on what those herbs, the benefits of those herbs. No? That's one thing for identification.
Yeah, definitely.
And then, as I said, you can look it up. But people, you know, to get them out in nature, some people just are not used to do that, and it's healthy. I mean, you walk barefoot first thing in the morning if you have access to grass. And you will believe it or not, but you give a message through the vibration going through you. It's taken, and things that you need grow there. I have a friend who had a problem with the lymphatic system and her, thyroid. Her thyroid was not working because she had a breast implant which leached.
Okay.
And she had it taken out again and destroyed everything. She's a vegetarian. She didn't like the idea that this was taken from a thyroid of a pig. And her backyard was full with cleavers. You know, the sticky bug?
Yeah.
So I said, look, that is your medicine. This cleans up your lymphatic system. And I told her to juice it or to put it in the blender with other herbs. And true enough, I didn't tell her to go off the medication, but she got well, you see? So things grow around us for a reason. I'm very blessed where I am because there's no chemicals, there are no cars around. You don't take something from near the road where the cars are driving, you know?
Of course,
you have to go into an area which is really quite pure. But I was living in Dublin and I found the areas. And the interesting thing is that in Ireland, you have certain climate zones. Like when you're in Dublin, along the seaside, you find three plants you don't find here in Leitrim. One is the Alexanders. That is used to come from the Mediterranean, they say, but long time ago. And it's a winter vegetable. And then you have the wild spinach. It's much more powerful than the spinach you grow in your garden. And then you have the mallow. And they have you have the mallow in big bushes. And all those three can actually be foraged the whole year round.
Wow. And,
yeah.
And they're on our doorstep, and yet when you don't know.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Now I have also already I already have a request for your book there. So if you email that over to me, Ursula, I'll get that out to if people want it, they can email
yes.
me. But yeah, definitely, I think we'll do that. Mm-hmm. Again, is to know what you're picking. And obviously wash everything that you get anyway. I mean, that goes without saying. And obviously, you said juicing there. Now, I had Bernadette Bowen on the show there, a few years ago. I talked to Bernadette and she was getting over cancer. And the second time when she got the cancer, she went down the juicing route and stayed away from the chemo. But the one thing that she researched and she found out, just for people, if you're interested in doing the juicing, is that you're probably better off getting a masticating juicer than getting getting a blender, because the centrifugal speed of the blender can burn off the enzymes in the actual food, where a masticating juicer does it nice and slow and keeps everything in.
Yeah, I have a masticating juicer. Yeah. But I also use a blender. I must say there's still enough left instead of not doing it. You see?
Yeah.
You cannot, not all of them can go through a masticating juicer if you have very fibrous herbs. So what I do, especially for people who are new in that, I blend it and I sieve it off. I sieve the fibers off. But in my I don't throw away anything. The fibers I make into pesto, wild herb pesto, for example. No?
Okay, yeah. No, that makes sense. That does
make
sense.
But you're right with the masticating juicer. And I was lucky to buy one at juicer.ie, because mine had broken down. I used it for years.
Yeah.
And it was even by an Irish engineer. And he had it tested in Carlow in a technical institute, whatever that institute is. And it was compared to other juicers and blenders. And that one had the highest content of enzymes. Because what is important is we need the enzymes and we need the biophotons. It's not much spoken about, but biophotons are life and light. So, bio, life, photon, light. And this is in everything alive, even in our body. But both of it, the biophotons and the enzymes, get destroyed by heating it up for more than 45 degrees.
Yes.
Or 43 degrees. So we have to take it in that state.
Yeah.
For example, a soup. Yesterday I made a broccoli soup with coconut milk. So you take a few heads of broccoli and then you mix it with some hot water in it. No? So the broccoli and the coconut milk and some little spice, or not too much spices, but like salt and pepper. And you have a warm soup. And that doesn't take time. It takes 3 minutes, you know?
Now, tell me something about the heat temperatures, because obviously something I was again told by Bernadette, because we talked about, juicing and stuff like that. She did say that extreme heat spoils the actual food. And so what you need to do is get in something like a cooker, not so much, not a crock pot, but something.
A dehydrator,
exactly.
Yes.
That to do the cooking, because if you do it at a high temperature, you're going to take the goodness out of what you've
You take the enzymes out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you, I make teas, for example, from the herbs. Mm. I mix them. I have nettle tea. I have one of the great things is willow herb.
Okay.
I want to get into that as well, which is also the fireweed. So, and I ferment it, but I dry it in a dehydrator or at the lowest heat possible in your oven. And that's my tea. And it was interesting with the little kids because, so I said, where does your tea come from? Yeah, from the tea bag. Okay, now there's another story with the plastic in the tea bag, which when it's exposed to boiling water,
yeah,
it sheds off something which is not good for you. And so I have jars and jars full with teas I have collected and keep them in jars, and that's what I'm drinking. And then I also drink turmeric. I mix turmeric with ginger, and a few other spices like cardamom and so forth. And yeah, then my tea, or you add milk to it, you know, like the turmeric milk, but I add some more like cloves and
Sounds very healthy. I'm doing
it's very good.
Yeah, I'm doing the chaga mushrooms. I'm still taking that on dinner, and obviously the turmeric as well. Now, one of the things that Bernadette said again, I suppose, you know, I don't know whether this is a scientific thing or just for the benefit, but she said, "Your best when you get the food, when you pull the food out of the ground, basically, or you take the plants that you need," she said, "it's best if you take it within 20 minutes because that's the best time to take it." Mm-hmm. And then as you let it go on, it's not as good, you know.
True. I mean, you take the life force out of it. It's not connected anymore to growth. And imagine how long have the vegetables been in the supermarket, you know. And they came from other countries, et cetera, et cetera. There's not much life force left in them. So when you go out foraging and then you prepare it right away, that's the best. Or you have your own garden where you grow things. But as I said, the garden plants are not so as powerful as the wild plants. And if you only know the plantain, people know plantain or ribworth, then you have the dandelion and you have the nettle and maybe one, two more like ground elder or so. That's enough for the beginning to start with.
Okay. What about seaweed? Because we're Ireland is an island.
Fantastic. So. I mean, this should be used so much more. Seaweed has, first of all, a lot of minerals in it like magnesium. You can get all your magnesium from the seaweeds. And then it also, like the dulce, you know, the red one.
Mm.
This is to detox what has accumulated even in our brain, because our body brain barrier has been destroyed through one of the culprit is fluoride and other heavy metals and stuff, and also citric acid, which comes from black mold. And so our body system, which is the most perfect computer and system in the world you can imagine, was designed that heavy metals would not go into the brain because the brain cannot easily be detoxed. No?
Yeah.
But now it can go into it. All the bad things are now going into our brain, or the mold you inhale. When you live in a place with mold, you inhale that, and it gets into the brain and it interferes with the connectivity in the brain. It's like a glue there, no?
Yeah.
And one of the things they use to detox, and this is what Anthony William talks about, is his heavy metal detox smoothie. So one of the good things is, now he doesn't talk much about the wild herbs, so they are very beneficial, but he says that part of it is you get your coriander, and then you get the red seaweeds, And then let's say you put bananas, and one very important part is wild blueberries. Now, Ireland doesn't have much wild blueberries anymore. You have another name for them here. I'm not talking about the garden blueberries you can buy, but it's the wild ones.
Okay.
There's a name for it starting with F.
Okay.
Anyway, it's the wild blueberries.
I wouldn't be able to help you with that because I'm not green fingers at all. So this, so fairly new to me. So you need Percy Trower or somebody.
Yeah, they help to detox the body from the heavy metals. And he says that viruses like Epstein-Barr virus, they live by the metals. They increase eating and ingesting practically the bad metals we have in our body, and they grow more instead of getting rid of it.
Yeah, that seems to be the order of today. Loads of people saying that you want to detox with the metals in our body, and especially people that have been jabbed. Seaweed, as you said, the seaweed there with the magnesium. Now, Clive DeCarl, I've interviewed, and Clive said one of the five main things that you need in your body is magnesium, because that helps your joints and stops arthritis and inflammation. And I'm very kind of focused on that. And even today, I still have every morning, I have green grapes, red grapes, banana, and watermelon. Every day. I mean, that's I've been doing that for the last 2 years now, 2 or 3 years, and I just as part of my health, plus the chaga and plus the turmeric and the water now structured.
Yeah.
So we all have to kind of slowly. For me, I'm trying to change now. I still like my cup of tea, and that has to change though, because I did try green tea, and I was getting acid reflux with the green tea, and I thought, no, that's not.
I cannot tolerate it also because of the caffeine in it. What is also important is that you cleanse your colon. I mean, that is the worst part where everything is hidden, and we could talk a lot about that.
I mean, the whole cleansing thing, I mean, people talk about this colonic irrigation and using coffee enemas and stuff like that. Do you believe in any of that, or do you just feel that?
I have experienced that. Yeah, I've experienced that in the Philippines, because one time I was asked to do a holistic health conference, which I organized. And before that, there was one in Manila where I participated in 1993. And I met somebody who had a holistic alternative clinic. Now, the main part was there, the colonic cleansing and juicing as well. But they did coffee enema, but now Anthony William is not recommending that, no?
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, so, I mean, there are two sides to it. It can be a fast cleansing, but in the same time, it can have side effects maybe. I have other friends who are into holistic health. They say you shouldn't do too much of colonic cleansing. You should do the through eating the right food, etc. But you could also do your own enemas. It's a big story that your digestive system is cleansed, because we also. Like, I was diagnosed that I had this plug around my intestinal tract of casein. And casein is caused by dairy, milk. And you see dairy, milk, and then you have the white wheat, which becomes like glue. Mm. And then you have, if you mix it with egg, casein has been used by artists in the past as far back as 1200s, 1500s, etc., to seal their paintings. It's a glass-like substance. Mm. So the receptors in our digestive systems are covered in most people with that glass-like hard substance. And none of the good things you take, whether your minerals, vitamins, are being absorbed because the receptors are closed. Mm. So you have to get rid of that.
How do you do that?
I have been doing colonic cleansing a lot when I was in the Philippines. And whenever I had skin problems or signs of detox would be that everything bad wants to come out. So phlegm comes out, you get colds. Yeah. These are all symptoms. This is not a sickness. The body wants to get rid of something. So what is mostly done, people suppress the symptoms. It's just like, there's a very nice example. If you have a freezer and the freezer has something wrong, it shows a red light. So you take a hammer and you destroy the red light. This is the way you would treat fever, you would treat diarrhea, because these are all ways the body will get rid of toxins.
Yeah.
And you have to go through it.
For some people, I kind of use the analogy, like, you know, you're driving your car and the light comes on the dash to say you have a problem with your engine. And what they do is they take the bulb out.
Exactly. That's the same story.
Yeah. Okay.
And,
so
they give right away something to suppress the fever. But the body, you need to sweat at times. Mm. When I had fever, my mother would give me the linden flower tea, so I will sweat more, or the seeds of the, you know, from the rose, how do you call this little red rose? The fruits of the rose.
I'm not the gardener, you see.
The seeds of that are also good for sweating. So they put you under a good cover, and then you start sweating, and that's when the body gets rid of toxins. And another one is the pores of our skin. They let things go out and you take something in. So whatever you place on your skin, it should be edible, okay?
Yeah.
You don't want chemicals to get through your skin.
Yeah.
And that's what most of people do. And since petroleum had been used vastly starting 1930s, 40s, petroleum was put in everything. So you shouldn't also have lotions or liquid soap. That makes the body acidic.
Right, liquid
it's
soap.
Everywhere.
So, yeah. like you know, when you go in, you have foam cleanser for your shower and all that.
Or you have your shower soap hanging there. That's absolutely not good because it makes your system acidic and it goes through the pores and the chemicals go inside.
There you go. And what would you recommend for the shower wash?
Natural soap.
Natural soap. Okay, just natural soap.
Yeah, and there's a lot out there. I mean, you can. And then what is good for your skin is virgin coconut oil.
Right, okay. I know we talked about coconut oil as well,
yeah.
As a way of using that in food and stuff like that and the benefits of it. Right, I'm going to go over to questions. We have a few questions there. So people, if you want, people on the chat room, folks on the chat room, if you want to, if you have any questions for Ursula, anything you want to ask, just pop the question there with Q or question at the start and then I'll pick it up there. So let's start off with the first question and it's from Joan. And Joan wants to know a question for Ursula. How can one safely recognize wild lettuce in your garden or in the wild? I have watched videos on this and they have spines on the back, but not every leaf.
Oh, I cannot really answer that. What you consider wild lettuce? What I know is wild spinach. I haven't really come across wild lettuce.
Okay, not to worry.
I don't know what's going with that. Yeah.
Okay. Next question is, by the way, Joan said that, she said, we have a place not too far away from where she lives that grow wild blueberries.
Oh, yeah, wonderful.
You know,
collect as much as you can. And there's even some super value who is selling the frozen ones.
Right, okay. I'm just wondering that if she actually went there and picked them and then got the seed. Got the seed and grew it in our back garden. Would that be possible?
I have met recently somebody in the north, and he said he lives near Dungannon, and he has a farm where he grows the garden blueberries and the wild blueberries.
Well, that'd be interesting.
I wouldn't know how to propagate it, but maybe you can take a little bit from the plants with roots. But they still, I mean, when they grow in the wild, they're more powerful.
Well,
but overgrazing with sheep, like I lived on a hill for 3 years before I came down to the lake here. And people were saying to me that once a year they would go up the mountain and they would collect the wild blueberries. I was searching everywhere and I couldn't find them anymore because the sheep were grazing up to the very top of the mountain.
Yeah, no worries. Again, the animals will, you know, naturally go for things like that, which is good for them. And you know, Joan, if you can get your hands on wild blueberries, definitely try and grow them there if you can. Right, Liam wants to know, question for Ursula. Has Ursula any thoughts on St. John's wort, a beneficial plant so good that Brian Cowan TD, as Minister for Health, had stopped its use circa year 2000?
Yes. I was very surprised that in Ireland St. John's wort is not sold in any form. You can get in Polish shops the tea. I have gotten seeds and I plant my own, but they also grow wild not far from where I am, and they are used for depression. So
very good. We'll see. I know you said you're probably surprised, but I mean, you know about Agenda 30 and the New World Order. Ursula, so like anything that benefits the people and people can cure themselves well, not cure themselves, but heal themselves. And you don't have to buy tablets from Big Pharma. I mean, it'll be shut down. And St. John's wort was one of them things, unfortunately. So let me see.
It's sold in the Northern Ireland.
Sold in Northern Ireland. Okay. Right. Okay. Next question from Joan again. Joan says that she suffers from phlegm. What do you suggest?
Well, phlegm is a sign that the body wants to get rid of something, mucus. Does she still take dairy? That's one thing to leave. And also the wheat, no?
Okay.
The body wants to get rid of something, and that's why it produces phlegm.
Right, okay. And is that could that be a chemical or something in the body itself?
No. The body is wise and uses phlegm to get things out of the system, you know?
Okay, that's interesting.
It's the same thing with, for example, if you have too much acid. So people react differently. If you look at live blood analysis or dark field microscopy, you would see the tiny little acid crystals, just like a crystal, but very, very tiny. So some people have it around their knees, their hips, and they cause pain. But in some people, the body wraps it in fat. So women with a big tummy and big hips and big thighs, they have the fat has been now around these crystals. And when you detox and when you get rid of the acid, then the fat will also go.
Right.
It's a protective measure of the body, so it won't be that painful. Yes.
Okay, and I hear that for men, a lot of the time when you have like something bad in your body, what the body does is it try and puts it in a location where it's going to be too bad, or keep away from the rest of the body. And the stomach seems to be the area, especially for men with the beer bellies.
It's the old trash. It's the old trash inside. For some people, the intestine can be as white. You see, when you have the sticky substance there, then everything else will stick to it. And then you only have a very thin passage where the things go out. And the only solution is to stop anything which causes acidity and to do detox. And with the time, you can get rid of your belly. It's the old shit, I'm sorry to say.
Again, it's the lifestyle change and it's to do something. Okay, we got a text in from Pat. Thanks, Pat. And Pat said, wild blueberries are called Frocons. F-R-O-C.
How?
F-R-O-C-H-A-N-S.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay, that's okay. The Irish name for it.
And rose hips are the seeds rich in vitamin E.
It's rose hip, yes.
There you go.
A and a lot of C as well.
Great. Huh? That's great. Cheers, Pat, for that. Thanks to you.
Thank you, Pat.
Thanks for texting in there. Okay, next question from Bluebell. Bluebell wants to know, what about simple soap? Drinking apple cider vinegar first thing in the morning. Now, I'm glad that Bluebell mentioned this because there's an argument regarding apple cider vinegar. I used to take that with my dinner. You know, have a little bit of orange juice maybe or water with apple cider vinegar. And drink that. Yeah. And then I hear other people saying, don't be drinking that. It's acid. It's no good for you. And then the other camp is saying, no, apple cider vinegar is good for you. You should be taking that.
So, yeah. So I'm following Anthony William here, who says that for the flora in the digestive system, mm-hmm. it is the celery juice, which helps you to build your own flora, because whatever you give outside from what the body can produce by itself is actually not very healthy. For example, if you give iodine, for the thyroid would know how much iodine to produce, but it's out of balance. So we can even go to the energy centers, we can go to the chakras to see that the chakra there at the throat is working well. I mean, it goes a little bit too far maybe in the moment. But when you think of that, we give our body a substance which it can produce by itself, the body would say, oh, so I don't have to produce it anymore. It shuts it down. Or it works like a key and produces too much. Mm. Yeah?
Yeah.
So we always have to see to it that the body will do its work by itself because it's wiser than our mind.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Okay. So going back to the question regarding the simple soap and the apple cider vinegar, are they, what do you think of them two?
I don't take it, and I don't even take other. I mean, that's the big question here. But I just follow, in that case now, what Anthony William says, and it serves me very well. It's lemon that doesn't cause acidity, even if it is sour. Yeah?
Okay.
So it does the opposite.
Lemon does the opposite. So because people...
Yeah, not too much. Yeah. I mean, you use half lemon on 2 glasses of water. And you can drink this during the day as well. You vitalize your water with that.
Now, I'm glad you said that because people have this perception that lemon is acid.
No, it's not. Mm. You know? And we also are not used anymore, by the way, to eat anything bitter.
Okay.
In other cultures, they look for some bitter leaves. Like in Greece, they eat dandelion-like plants growing in the garden, and they're bitter, and they take a heap of them. They slightly boil it, but then they put olive oil over and some salt and they eat it the way it is. Or Africans will look for bitter leaves. They're even sold in African shops, frozen, insane, bringing them in from Africa. You can use your dandelions for that. We have eliminated bitterness from our system. When you have typical, like in Germany, we have a lot of teas. Herbal teas.
Yep.
If you drink tea for the liver, it's usually bitter because that cleans the liver. That helps the liver to detox better. And we have destroyed, I mean, our liver, my God. So my son, my younger son, had 3 types of hepatitis.
Wow.
And his liver was very much affected. So when I came to Germany back from the Philippines, I started to give him green smoothies and some raw food, etc. And when he went back to the doctor, they couldn't believe that his liver was fine. Mm. You see?
Yeah, well, the doctors are always amazed when you go in and you're doing something natural And they say, well, I can't understand why that worked, because we have tablets here that but don't worry about the side effects. No, don't read the instructions and read the side effects. Just take these tablets, you know. Right, okay, listen, I'm watching the time and I know we have a few questions to go through and we still have a topic to discuss. So very quickly, just going back to the first question with Bluebell, I know there's a product out there, I think it's called Simple Soap. Would you recommend that?
Yeah. There are simple soaps. I mean, often I'm gifted. Somebody gives me natural soaps. Other people don't even take soaps. You can also have this, the fine earth, you know?
Yeah.
Diomedes earth, or how is it called? I know I pronounce it wrong, but we have that also in Germany for just €1 something. You buy a pack of this. And then you rub it and then you cleanse it. And I go to a seaweed bath at a time. You know, that's the natural jelly.
Is it the dietary tomatoes earth or something?
Yeah, it's also wrong, but I forgot how it's written.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's another way. And natural soaps. Some people learn to make their own soaps.
Yeah, that's right. You can, go into a health shop and you can get natural soap.
Yeah, and even some of the Asian shops and Arabic shops, they have very nice natural soaps.
Okay, another question for you from Phyllis. And question from Phyllis has Ursula heard of the benefits of drinking ozonated water?
Ozonated water. Yeah. I haven't specifically drunk ozonated water, but I've heard it's good because,
okay.
I cannot say much to it.
Okay, it's probably on the same par as structured water, to be honest with you.
We need living water.
Yeah.
So water has to go through a spiral. And a friend was, by the way, just telling me, she's going with me tomorrow to a seaweed bath, and she said, I'm going to buy this squirrely thing which you use to milk for milk, you know, in the coffee. And instead of using it for milk in the coffee, she will get her well water, which goes through a pipe. When something goes through a pipe, it's dead, okay?
Okay.
It's not anymore spiral. So she said she had heard from somebody who does this, puts this thing into the water, and it makes again the water structured.
Okay, well, that's kind of like the vortex that I have. And when I vortex the water, it creates a spiral and it transfers.
So seemingly you can use this thing, which is much cheaper.
Yeah. So the structured water, again, it creates a spiral of vortex from one bottle to the other, and that's restructuring the water, and we've talked about that on the show. Okay, so let me see. Joan again. Joan's very popular today. Thanks for the questions, Joan. Joan wants to know, question, so no dairy, wheat. Am I correct in saying that, she said?
Yes.
Okay, that's cool. Joan also wants to know, may I ask, what does your guest eat for dinner, or does she eat a dinner as we know it?
I'm a vegetarian and I eat a lot of salad. I see to it that I have, if I don't eat a raw meal, that I have something raw before. So I would have either my smoothie or a salad, and then sometimes I like potatoes. Potatoes, according to Andrew William, are very good. And there's so many things. I do every day something else, and I'm very creative in cooking. I don't follow recipes, but I'm also teaching healthy cooking if somebody's interested. I mean, there's a lot out there.
Well, I take it.
Dinner, yes.
I take it if you say that you don't eat wheat, that would be probably that if you're going to do. If you need to eat something, it'd probably be gluten-free rather than gluten.
Yeah, because wheat has been tampered with in the period of long time.
Yeah.
No?
Okay, no, I totally agree. Okay, we'll do one more question and then we'll get over to the other subject, Mallory.
Yeah.
Joan says, does your guest trust salt rooms? I have seen it work.
Yeah, it's good. I think so because you go in and you inhale, and it is really cleaning your breath, your system, your bronchial system, etc. And they do that even in salt mines, where they bring in people and they lie down for a while and they inhale. That's where the idea came from, that they created salt rooms.
Brilliant. Okay, now the other subject that we want to get into, Ursula, is breatharians. And for people who don't know what a breatharian is, it's a person who doesn't actually eat or drink. They get their energy from the sun or prana. And there's a number of these people around the world. Now, I heard about this years ago, like going back in the early 2012, 2013, when we had Conscious TV, and there was a lady on the show being interviewed about that she was a breatharian. And it sounded strange, because we all think psychologically, I suppose, and we all think, well, hang on, we're supposed to eat and drink and we need the proteins and everything else. But I got talking to Ursula on the Zoom, and she had a DVD that she gave me a lend of to watch. And it goes through people who are breatharians in the world who don't eat or drink. They can do if they want to, but they choose not to. And they had doctors investigate this yogi, and they locked him in a room for 10 days, and they did all the tests and everything else. And at the end of the 10 days, they just said, we just don't understand how it works and how he's still alive, but he's been doing it for X amount of years. So, yeah, Ursula, you gave me a lend of the DVD. You've met these people. So tell us about the breatharian and what that is all about.
Yeah, I have met a few people in my life, and I was intrigued also. I didn't meet this woman, but when I was 13 years old, the newspapers and magazines were full with reports about a woman in Bavaria. She stopped eating. And she experienced the stigmata like Padre Pio did, no?
Yeah.
And she was visited later by Yogananda, who had come from India after he met a woman there. And he heard that this woman from Konnersreuth was not eating. He visited her. She was 52 years old, and she walked with him the mountains. And he wrote about her in his autobiography of her yogi. Then later I came across Yasmuheen from Australia, who stopped eating 93-94. She's featured a lot in that film of Peter Straubinger. Peter Straubinger is the filmmaker, and he had researched this phenomena. He works with Austrian television, and he made the film, which I saw in Munich maybe 13 years ago, and it was then made into English, available on Vimeo. No. Mm. So he personally then visited those people, and it was done in the span of a certain time as a documentary, with, as you said, the doctors observing them and so forth. Most of them have a spiritual practice, but it seems that they are getting more, and there are meetings also in northern Italy regularly, and I myself have gone to a pranic consciousness conference in Romania, and I met this Russian woman who didn't eat at all, and she wasn't even slim. And you see in the film, you see this woman at the end from Russia with a very strong energy. She is quite chubby, no?
Yeah, she is, yeah.
But she's so fun. I mean, she said, you know, people can believe me or not, I don't care. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't eat since more than 10 years. Or is it more? And then I met Sophia. Sophia's real name is Carrie. She's coming from Ireland. And I met her 4 or 5 times. First was that she was interviewed as a breatharian by Paul Congdon in his Positive Life event. And then I had a personal session with her. And I attended 2 workshops. And she regularly posts on Facebook and on Instagram. And when she was asked by her, she calls it her team, her guides, to stop eating, she was laughing and she said, no, I won't. But at a certain point, she did. She went also to China for 2 years of Tai Chi, a very rigid training.
Yeah.
So most of them do some body work, and all of them have a certain spiritual practice which goes beyond knowing that we are more than our physical body.
It is amazing. And when people hear this, or they've heard it, listening to the show tonight, I'm sure people probably have never heard of a breatharian and the fact they don't eat or drink. Their belief system is going to be challenged, because they're going to say, hang on a minute, if these people are not eating or drinking, they're going to die. That's the first thing that they say.
Yeah, and this has nothing to do with bulimia or what, you know, because one of the comments at the talk was that the man said, what you're saying is very dangerous, because young people would then stop eating. And you see, it's a long process. And Jasmuheen has written, like, there are 220 pages about pranic consciousness and how to go about it and what they have learned in the time when she exposed that, and she was asked to do workshops. And they also interviewed people who started it and then stopped it again. But, you know, just the thought, I mean, I love food and I cannot imagine myself doing this. But the thought alone that you can exist without that, it boggles the mind of people, but it is proven, and it has, you see that in the documentary. And I know several people. Jasmuheen was sending me from Australia to the Philippines her books, and one was Living by Light and the other was called In Resonance. It all has to do with resonance. And I was writing something about it, which I called From Water to Light, because we are water-based. And when we step up our energy level, our frequency, we become light-based, not water-based anymore.
Now, can we just say, Ursula, it's very important that people do their research and you just don't pick a day and decide, oh, on that day I'm going to stop eating, because people have actually died for doing it wrong. You need to do your research and get proper training and knowledge of this before. If you even think about attempting it, you really need to do your research on it.
And it has nothing to do with fasting, they say. It's just another, it's like your source of so-called food would be prana, life force. Mm. So you just get in more life force into the system. But as I said, I am not attempting to become a Breatharian or living by prana or by light. But if somebody is really interested, there is this group in northern Italy, and they regularly meet and people talk about their own experiences, etc. But just knowing that it is possible makes us understand that we are so much more than this body. Exactly. And they have strong bodies, like this guy I was sending you the link. He's talking about gamma rays. And he says you can step up your, you know, you can be in a level of, in the alpha level, in the data level, blah, blah, blah. And this is gamma. I don't know. I mean, he is on YouTube, and I have been following since several years now. He's a black American. He was very big. He was very fat. And he slowly, slowly started to become vegetarian. Then he became vegan. Then he drank juices. And then there was a time when he stopped. And he is a man with a lot of muscles. He works out.
Yeah, it is amazing for people who have never heard of this before, breatharians. And there are people around the world who are doing it. And, I mean, if you think about it, imagine the impact that would have on society and the Agenda 30, and if everybody started being breatharians and nobody went to Tesco's and SuperValu, the kind of the commercial side of this, the amount of money that would be lost by big joints and pharma, because at the end of the day, I take it that breatharians are quite healthy and they're not popping tablets and all that. So the health benefits.
Yeah, and there's a German who used to work in Switzerland in a pharmaceutical company. He was a director in a pharmaceutical company, and he stopped eating 2002. But he drinks sometimes, like social, you know, when the interviewer was there, the wife was eating and the husband had a little orange to, juice. And he so much wanted to be tested. And he put himself up to be tested in a hospital in Germany. They refused to release the result. And then he went somewhere else. And he again, they wouldn't give the result because it will just, I mean, imagine. And Jasmuheen, in the time when she was at the beginning of it, she was so excited because she thought that is the solution for world hunger. But it's not that easy.
No, it really is mind over matter. And that chap that you said, I think he was a doctor. He was a medical doctor himself. And he wanted to be tested. And when they tested them and realized that he was genuine, they didn't want to release the results because, as you say, if the truth got out that you could actually do this with the right training and practice, how much money would they lose commercially and the amount of people that would be healthy? Rather than eating food that has loads of poisons in it, like MSG and aspartame and God knows what, you know? I mean, they would lose a fortune. So they don't want this information again getting out, folks. As I say, always be responsible in whatever you do. Do your research. But, I mean, this would affect a lot of people, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and so Jasmuheen had to understand also with the time. She was allowed, she allowed herself to be tested, but she had given conditions. She said, the doctor has to read my books. Then she should be not exposed to smoking. She should have rest in the night where she can sleep in the dark. And they didn't do anything of that. So after 10 days, they stopped the experiment and said it is not successful because she lost like 1 kilo during the period of time.
I'm
just getting a message from a filmmaker in America. He did the film with me on the indigenous people, and he's just sending me a message. The link doesn't go anywhere, so I have to send it to him when we finish. You have it again on your radio, isn't it?
Yeah, we didn't post it up. We didn't put it up. That's not a problem.
Because I used to work with indigenous people in the Philippines and also encouraged them to look how their ancestors lived and,
Definitely.
What herbs they used, what wild things they used.
Now, tell me something. I really think, and maybe, and I think the listeners will probably agree with me, I really think a DVD should be done of you from start to finish. Now, I know you have a few videos on YouTube of yourself talking about it, but I mean, really, for the Dummy's Guide to Food Foraging, I do think a DVD should be put together for people that they can buy and they can actually go and say, right, I want to get that, and this is the plant, and you know, I think that would be a great idea. You know, that'd be brilliant to do that. But there is a question from Steve here, and Steve wants to know, what's your thoughts on using the likes of ayahuasca or cannabis?
Oh, yeah, that's a story. Now, I have said one time in a health conference, I'll teach you to be naturally high. And it was a little shocking. But for me, naturally high was to use the coconut and use the wild herbs. And it gives you already a very elevated feeling. Yeah. Ayahuasca, I have tried it. But then I would say that this is not from our land. It's from another culture. And cannabis, I'm taking the oil at times. Sometimes I'm given it by somebody. And I don't react well. I could not tolerate to smoke or so. It doesn't fit into my system.
And that's surprising because cannabis is a cannabinoid system, which we have.
I'm saying whatever you give from outside, maybe to the system, it can trigger your body to produce it again. But we have cannabinoid not only receptors, but we can produce it in ourselves. Mm. No?
Yeah.
Just like the story of dopamine and serotonin. Mm. if your pituitary gland is calcified, which is in most people because of fluoride, etc. Yeah. Mm. So there are different ways of cleansing it. And this is the queen of all the glands we have in our system. So when this one doesn't work, all the others don't work well. And if you do sun gazing in the morning, you start with 20 seconds looking into the rising sun, and then you increase this for a while. It's one of the ways also to clear your pituitary gland.
Well, what we are living in Ireland, seeing the sun is a rare occasion.
Well, I, you know what? Because I wake up so early that very often I see the rising sun and then it's covered again by the clouds. I mean, I just wake up very early. Some people are light persons.
Pat wants to know how to take the celery juice to make it taste better.
Get used to the taste.
Oh, no, listen, I can't do that. Steve is a witness to this. Steve on the chat room, who's my co-host on OIM, he one time I was around in his house and he juiced cabbage juice. And it was, I mean, Steve remembers this. He drank it, you know, because he said, you know, it tastes bad, but he drank it and I had a taste of it. And I just, no, I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it.
I mean, at times I get a celery, which is very, very pleasant, and I leave away the green leaves, which makes it more bitter if you take it with the green leaves, you know?
Mm. Yeah. But could you not, I mean, juicing, the whole idea, obviously the fruit overpowers the vegetables, and the idea is to make it more palatable and have a bit of a taste.
No. I mean, the secret is to take it pure. Sorry.
I know. That's now I'm disappointed now. I have a very sensitive palate and I just...
But you know what? Sometimes people who have reached rock bottom, the health, they're willing to do anything. I mean, I drink it every day. I don't have problems with that, but...
I think for me, I would just find a substitute that's as good but tastes a bit better.
Well, if you take the smoothie, so you have the wild herbs.
Yeah.
And you put them in a blender, and I have a little very old video from 9 years ago where I explain it. So you sieve it off, and then you put back the green and use maybe a little bit of spirulina. A spoon of spirulina in it and the fruits. That's it.
Yeah. Now, spirulina is something that we've talked about before on OEM, and spirulina is something that I've tried and I bought. You can get it in your local health shop. Again, there's a lot of stuff out there that is very good. Spirulina is got to do with from seaweed, isn't it?
No, it's from sweet. It's a freshwater algae.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I knew it was something got to do with the sea, but I thought...
No, it's not in the sea. It's freshwater.
Freshwater algae. So there's loads of things out there that you can try. Yeah, the spirulina was in a glass of water. I think you did get a glass of water and you pour it in and you can drink it. But yeah, there are loads of stuff out there. I just think people need to do their research, and they need to look at if you have any medical issues, start looking at, you know, the things that might be helped. Now, the whole, I don't know whether the book that you're going to email over to me.
It's not really a book. It's just a compilation of pages.
Okay.
Which I put together, and it's not coming all from me because I downloaded this and that there. You know, put it together. So I don't publish it because even the pictures, most of them are downloaded. And, you know, the issue with publication, something which is on Google. So you would have to make your own photos. But it's a good thing because you can print it out. It becomes your guide. And I don't want to make things so complicated. You know, when you think of all the properties of each different plant, you don't have the time anymore to go out and collect. You just get the few edible greens you're sure, and you make your smoothie, and then you add any fruits you have in the house. some berries, etc. And you do that regularly and you will see the changes.
Yeah. Don't
make it so complicated.
Just going back to the spirulina, I think when I was taking the spirulina, I was putting it in orange juice rather than water, actually, to get the taste away. Again, the taste, a big thing there. Joan quickly wants to know, I guess your guest knows the benefits of turkey tail mushroom.
I've heard of that. I've nibbled on some. And they say it's also good for cancer. So that's all I know. And I'm not a mushroom expert. If I would always refer to experts like this. When you look up UK Wild Food Larder as a Facebook site, they're amazing. So you can send, if you're a member of that, you send them a picture. They will right away say what it is and how you can use it.
Wow, okay, that's handy because obviously
people
who are new to this are going to be concerned that they might see something and they won't be sure what to do with it. So if they took a photo, send it away and give out that website again.
It's not a website, it's a Facebook site.
Oh, okay.
And it's called UK Wild Food Larder.
Okay, UK Wild Food Larder, folks. So if you go off to Facebook and check it out.
So people post and they make wine of this and this and that, which I don't do. They don't talk much about making the smoothies, no? But they have a lot. They can identify and they make food with it and they put nettles in cake and I don't know what. I have done it also. I made chocolate balls for children and I was hiding some pulp of the nettle in it.
Do you know, I have a neighbor of mine that makes elderberry wine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, she gets the yelp. She goes locally.
Elderflower, I guess.
Elderflower. That's the elderflower wine. She goes around locally because I think it grows locally. And she collects it and then she does
it. It's now the time of the flowers, but you should collect them when it's dry and sunny, not when it's wet. It's very hard in the moment, no? It's raining a lot. And then the elderberries, you only use the berries. You do not use any small stems, but you can comb it off with a fork once the berries are out. And then with that one, you have to make some kind of a syrup. And that is absolutely good in winter to boost your immune system. But it's being cooked. There's something in it which is not to be taken much raw.
Okay.
So now, that's one of the things you have to boil.
So a question for you, for myself. You know, this group that you mentioned on Facebook, do they have a list? Would they have a photo of, say, a flower or something that you picked or that somebody else has or that's accessible? And they give you a list of benefits of that?
No. So they don't have that.
Okay.
But you can Google every single herb name and you will get the benefits.
Yeah, because it would be great to say, this is you can get this plant and here's the benefits, here's what it does.
This is why I'm sending you the compilation of what I have put together.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. That'd be fantastic, you know, to do that, to have a compilation. I'm just reading them. That's Joan. That's... the chap that lives near me that I've had on the show. Yeah, he actually does bees as well, and he grows turkey tail. Okay, I didn't know that he grew turkey tail. I have to speak to him about that because I'm hearing so much more about turkey tail mushrooms. I mean, I have the Kaja mushrooms and the benefits of them, but the turkey tail seems to be quite popular. So I'd look into that. So what's your We're coming near the end, Ursula. What's your plans for the future? I mean, I know we're going to get you down to the men's shed to do a talk and do stuff, but you're running around the place, and I know you're very busy, and everybody wants a piece of you to go and do the teaching and everything. So tell us what your plans are for the future.
Oh, I don't plan anything for the future because in my experience that everything just comes up. I take it as almost as a sign, like it's laid in front of me. And I just follow that. So good things are coming up, like this story with the children. I always wanted to work with children, and here suddenly I'm invited to do this workshop. So I would like to share this with as many people as possible so that they will do the work as well. You know?
Okay. And do you have a website or Facebook page or anything that you want to give out your links there? So if people want to look up your details and find you or maybe book you to do stuff, because...
I should probably do a blog. I should probably do a podcast or something. I was asked to do something regular. I don't want to spend too much time on the computer, too much on the phone already. But if somebody follows my Facebook, and then you can scroll down, I always post something on health and, you know, the way I live is very simple.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't have a car, but things I need are coming. We are very powerful in our mind. So if you picture something and you have the feeling for it, that it will really come true, it comes true. Well, and the motto of my life is letting go. So I let go of a lot of things in my life and face every day as something new.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, Ursula, if the listeners... think that it's worthwhile booking a room somewhere locally. I mean, I know you said you come to the men's shed, but, you know, if yeah. if there's enough people interested in wanting yeah. to come and meet you and see some stuff, and maybe we can bring, you know, maybe before we have a meeting or we book a room, we'll go to a local place, pick some stuff and bring them to the room so people can see. Maybe something yeah. like that. If there's enough interest...
I'm doing it in Cork on the 6th of July. Mm. And then I have something in in Cavan coming up on next weekend. But that's more a private group in a house. Mm. They have family and friends there. On the coming Friday, Saturday, I'll be at Hugh Gold Farm. And, I am happy if people organize something.
Yeah.
Because then I will just come and talk and demonstrate and they can ask questions. I share my own experiences and they can see that you can be, at the age I am now, you can be very flexible. People always say you have such a good skin. Why is it? So I said I can only teach with it. By example.
Exactly. I totally agree.
Yeah.
And part of my journey is trying to change bit by bit. I'm still guilty of, I like a cup of tea and a biscuit and I admit to that. But I am definitely trying to change bit by bit, because if it's too much of a change and it's too drastic, I know it's not going to work. You know, you want to do it gradually, you know, bit by bit, change this and then change that and then change this. And then over time, that becomes your new system and what you do, and, you know. But listen, Ursula, it's been fantastic having you on. Thanks for coming on. Much appreciated. Yeah. Is there anything else you want to say before we finish up?
There are many things. But, I mean, take care of yourself. Take yourself important. It's the only body you have during this lifetime. And treat it as a temple, the temple of your spirit. And it has to be very well taken care of. And it's not just what you eat, but it's also in what surrounding you eat and who cooked the food, whose energy is in it. That's also important. And just be tolerant, love yourself, love others, do your service. I find that very important because things have increased in my life very well when I started to do my service.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Just respect yourself. And, you know, I know it's a cliche where you say what you put in is what you get out, but it is important. Okay, Ursula, stay with me there. Thanks for coming on. Much appreciated. Everybody loved the show and the information. We're just going to go off to a musical break and we'll be back after this.
You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio.
Now, that was Ursula and Slur I think that's the, how she pronounces her last name. And you can understand when I put the actual advert of the show on tonight with Ursula, I put Wise Woman, because she has a world of knowledge on so many things. And we could have went to so many different areas with her knowledge and where what she's done in our life. But I wanted to focus on the food foraging and the breatharians, because it's a subject that I haven't actually dealt with on the show, which I wanted people to hear about. So I hope everybody enjoyed that. And again, we'll probably end up doing a part two if we can. It'd be fantastic if Ursula did a DVD, like a dummy's guide to food foraging, you know, and she just went into a field and went, you take this and take this and take this and go back to the kitchen. And then there's the masticating juicer. And then you do this and you do this and there's your smoothie. And this is good for this health and this is good for this. That would be fantastic to see the DVD. Now, as I said, she has a couple of videos on YouTube of her doing stuff, but it's not detailed. It's just kind of her doing things. It'd be good to have it kind of detailed, where you can actually get a photo and a picture of a bit of the plant that she's picked. But you never know. You know, we never say never. Maybe somewhere down the line, you know, something like that will happen. And, you know, we'll have that information. But this is information that we've really lost. You know, a lot of the elderly people, even my elderly neighbours, know about elderflower, making wines and stuff like that. But that knowledge is lost. It's down to the convenience of Super Value and Tesco's and everything else. And if anything happens, we're stuffed. Really, we are stuffed. Unless we actually know what to do, a water source, definitely, and what to do with local food. So this knowledge is invaluable for all of us to have some information about it. So, you know, that's why I've asked Ursula down to the shed that I'm involved in. And there's going to be a group of us down there, but I will be advertising it for the local community. Unfortunately, it's limited space, so it'd only be able to go out to the local community. However, if people are interested in having Ursula in a room where we can hold, say, 50 people, then I'll be happy to arrange that with Ursula, and Circle of White Light will cover the cost of that. And it'll be free. It won't be chargeable, or maybe just a donation in a bucket. If people come along and you want to throw in a euro or whatever, just a donation to help pay the cost, that's fine. But I wouldn't be, you know, I know money's tight for a lot of people. So, you know, there definitely will be something that I do for free. Because it's all about knowledge. And maybe we could have it in, well, be a local, probably Kells or something. They have rooms there we can hire in Kells, local the Headford Arms Hotel there, and there's car parking at the back, because the car parking's always a problem. And one thing I focus on, if people say, do you want to go somewhere, the first thing I'll say is the car parking, because you don't want to be meters and tickets and all that kind of stuff and worrying about, am I over the time, I have to run and feed a meter and all. You don't want to be doing any of that. So anywhere that I'd pick it, make sure that there's parking there. But I need to know the numbers. You know, I need to know if people are interested. If you're listening to this show and you're interested and you think it's a good idea and you're prepared to, say, travel to Kells to come and see Ursula do something, then definitely we can organise something and we can sort it out. But I need people to email me and say, Alan, I'm up for doing that. I'll be there. I want to do that. And once I get an idea, then we can organise it. Okay, so you need to let me know. Otherwise, there's no point in organising it. Okay, so next week, there's no show. Sorry, folks, there's no show. I am away on, in business, but I'm away doing what I have to do. And so there's no show, sorry. But the week after that, I am trying to organise Nori, who's Aggie Nost, who was on the show. People thought he was very interesting and he wanted them on for show 2 and 3. Well, his partner or his co-host in his show regresses people and brings them into the future to find out about what happens in their future self and stuff like that. So that's going to be interesting. So she's confirmed that she can do it. I'm just organising all the technicalities. Keep an eye on the the schedule on the website, and you'll see there whether it's going to happen or not. And there's a couple of other guests. I have Nick, who is teaching me Tai Chi. I'm going to get Nick on, and we're going to be talking about his experience and Tai Chi and what that's all about. So that's coming up as well. So yeah, so trying to get guests on that will kind of give you the information that you can make decisions on about your health, about your well-being, about the food that you eat, and maybe a bit of exposure on a few things that are going on as well. If you, you know, if you haven't seen that video that Stephen Kerr did, go and check it out. I mentioned that at the start of the show. It's quite interesting. Quite disturbing that, you know, you have thugs like that that do that, and the TD was there. But if you want to check it out, I'm sure it's up there. It's called The Irish Inquirer on YouTube. You can check out Stephen's channel. Okay, for myself, take it easy. I don't think there's anything else. Let me just check my unscripted script to see if there's anything else that I have down there, just to mention that I won't be here. And no, that's it. I'm all done. And have a good 2 weeks. And I'll be back in 2 weeks' time. That's the plan. Hopefully I'll have some news for you. You never know. If you have any information or any guests that you'd like on, definitely send them over to me. Send the links over to me. And sometimes I do email guests and I don't get any emails back. It's the nature of the beast. It's what happens. Nothing I can do about that. But take it easy. Have a good one. And we'll see you in 2 weeks' time. Take care and bye-bye.
You have been listening to Circle of White Light Radio on CircleOfWhiteLight.com, focusing on solutions and thinking different.